Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 16, 2017. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin. The world, look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Did you hear the sound of that shofar? Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. If you don't get me and you get the machine, either keep trying to call me back or be patient. You know, I get a lot of calls, so you do need to be patient and, you know, call. If you call early in the mornings, I do not turn on my cell phone until after I have all the first part of the day done with. So that's like after 1 o'clock. That's when I turn it on. But anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news of Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, prayer requests can be sent by United States Postal Service, an email with your return address and your phone number to call you back. These requests will be taken to Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you at your request with no solicitation for donations. Like my wife says, we just throw them away after we're done. The address, that is. Well, anyway, so actually, throwing it away, we don't really keep the address. We fold the envelope up and the message and put it in another envelope and send it back to you so you get everything back. Anyway, we have a prayer request form on the right-hand side of Prophecy Hour, MessiahsBranch.com pages. Go over there and check it out. You can use it for a prayer request form, or you can send us a message with it. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's also on YouTube live right now and on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. Airtime isn't free, and as you know, this ministry sells nothing. We're only on the air due to your kind donations. On another note, let's thank that listener base again. In Shanghai, China, Tanzania, Paris, France, Toronto, Canada, actually all over Canada. It really amazes me how most of the cities, you know, are all down there by the border, you know. But anyway, we're all over Canada, Hamilton, Canada, Hyderabad, India, and there's other cities in India, of course. And, of course, cities right here in the good old USA, such as Aurora, Illinois, Oakland, California, Virginia Beach, Florida, Dallas, Texas, Plano, Texas, Toledo, Ohio, Buffalo, New York, Washington, D.C., as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains a larger group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later tonight. You folks in Wichita, especially want to remind you that we can use all your old clothing just as long as it's clean. Please bring it by. We can really use it. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor our guests. So, Father, please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Lift the veil from their eyes. Amen and amen. Well, there's much more that's... on the last program, folks, we talked about the Father claiming the end from the beginning, as recorded in Isaiah 46, 9-10. Remember the former things of old. For I am Yahweh. There is none else. I am Yahweh. There is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, to things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I shall do all my pleasure. So what does all this mean? Is there a hidden code found in the Torah? Well, earlier tonight, we talked about that on the first program that we have at 5 p.m. Central. And now, this is part two. So we were talking with Tom Mack about this, and he has did something like 20-plus years of code research. At least that's what it looks like. So welcome back. Are you there with me, Tom?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, I'm really glad to have you back. And before we left, right when we left, you had just brought this up about, and we ran out of time, really. I just want to make sure we covered it good enough, was this assassination code about Trump and Hillary Clinton. They're looking at that code. There's a lot of amazing words in there that go along with it.
Yes. Yeah, it's one of those things. You don't get these things very often, but it's one of those cases where I think the Lord spared his life and gave me the chance to get to do that. Because,
well, go ahead.
You know, I've seen what happened. You know, I've heard everybody talk about the Kennedy assassination and how it affected this country. And we don't need another one.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I was looking at the code, and there's a lot of words in here, you know. I mean, you know, while it does specifically talk about a bullet, but there's other words like poison and Lucifer and watchers and witchcraft. What does this say about Hillary Clinton? Does this, you know, is there something deeper meaning about Hillary we should gather from this?
Well, one, she's a witch. That's pretty much been established. And what's interesting, we went on, I have a friend, he's a missionary on St. Vincent's Island. His name is Major Tom Baird. He used to serve in the Army, he was in Vietnam and everywhere else. But we got together, and he's actually the one that suggested the idea for this code, and that he sensed something was going on. So I followed it, and that's where this code came from. 40 words in that code. I don't get that very often. In fact, it's very rare when I get 30. This time I got 40. Well,
All right. As
we went on, we ended up writing a fiction book called The Copper Scroll Incident.
Really?
And this thing, it took the story and went one place further. What the Copper Scroll is, this is fiction, but something tells me that even though I wrote it and he wrote it as fiction, we worked together on it. And we wrote it as fiction, but it's starting at every turn to become factual, and it's a little scary to think about it. But the most interesting thing was the story begins. You can get a synopsis by going to copperscroll.org. That's copperscroll.org. And it starts with the prophet Nahum getting this prophecy. And because it's the Lord tells him to hide it, he hides it. And I don't know if you realize, but he lived in a place called Alquash, Iraq, which is something like 50 miles north of Mosul, which is clear over in the eastern part of the country. By the way, Alquash is the only place in Iraq that hasn't literally been taken over by ISIL. Mm-hmm. Every time they attack, these men and boys get together and drive them off. It's miraculous because ISIL's hardly been stopped anywhere else they've moved. Mm-hmm. You know, now that they've got the Russians and now the U.S. irate with them, you know, they're not doing so well. But 2 years ago, they were unstoppable. Yet, when they come to Alquash, Iraq, they're stopped. Now, I wonder about that. And it's the only place where Christians are still in any number, and that's where a lot of Christian refugees have gone. Well, what happens? These two archaeologists find this scroll, and since the people there need food, clothing, everything you do at the mission, they're doing in Iraq.
Right.
Well, they send it off to Sotheby's, you know, the big auction house in New. Well, there's one in London, one in New York. We set this auction in New York. They go to New York. They put it up for auction, and guess who wants it? Hillary Rodham. We call her Hillary Rodham in the book, because that's her real name. Mm-hmm. When you look in these codes, I learned real fast that, and I have seen court papers to this effect, Hillary and Bill Clinton are not married. Haven't been for many years. I mean, what woman would put up with Bill's behavior that you know of? You know, it's no woman would put up with it.
And you wouldn't think
obviously
so.
Obviously, Hillary didn't. She divorced him. Got one of those Dominican Republican divorces, probably, because it's one of the few countries in the world where you can get a divorce and it can be private. But it's still a legal divorce, and it's enforceable in most states of the USA.
Right.
So, she's Hillary Rodham. And guess what? You may be able to fool most of the world, but can you fool God, Hillary?
Nope. Not a chance.
That's why the codes refer to her as Hillary Rodham. Every time.
Well, you know, let me throw something out here for the people. You know, actually, you know, and you know this, that one of the collection of the Dead Sea Scrolls was a copper scroll.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Most people don't know that. They just, you know, but, and go ahead.
Yeah, there's been several of them found. It's amazing. In fact, I sort of got the idea from a man named Wendell Jones. He's dead now, and a lot of people sort of, well, he's very anti-Christian, that's pretty apparent, but he did find some very interesting things. And one of those things he found was a copper scroll just right in the middle of the desert. And I want to say southern Israel, but not in the Negev, but south of Masada, just laying in the desert, and he found it. So that's where the idea that this would be a copper scroll, because mm-hmm. it would also be a little more durable. And, but what happened? They get to this auction, Hillary wants it bad, but also there's another man at the auction that's been told he's supposed to buy it. And he puts his entire savings into buying this thing just because God told him to. And at the last moment, the man representing Hillary, his cell phone goes bad. And so he can't make another bid. And so the major gets it. And the major, realizing that Hillary's not going to take losing very well, immediately whisks the thing out of the country. And, you know, his goal is to get it to Israel. And you'll have to read the book. I'll send it to you.
Okay. I'd appreciate a copy.
And we'll...
We can talk again.
Yeah, it's a... But
okay.
It's a very interesting book, and we're working on the second one in the series now.
Right, right. And so that was for... I can find out about the book at copperscrolls.org?
Copper Scroll, just singular.
Singular, okay. Yeah, I have it written on my notes in front of me. I'll look after we get done tonight. But yeah, Hillary, I agree with that about, you know, Hillary and a witch. She's ultimate evil. Actually, I believe that this election is really a huge spiritual battle going on, one between light and darkness, and of course Hillary representing the darkness. But
Agree.
It is still going on. So many people seem to, you know, they did like they did after 9/11. You know, that after 9/11, at first they were, you know, very patriotic and wanting to do everything, but just in a short period of time, it was unbelievable about how they just seemed to forget, you know, and go back to normal. And I'm trying to evil hit again. Right, and that's what I'm trying to emphasize on the people, that you can't go to sleep because this is still a spiritual battle, and while it's a spiritual battle, it happens in the physical, that comes out in the physical world. We need to be in it and praying and, you know, for the right side and doing the right things. Agree or disagree?
I agree fully. And, you know, the thing that, where this story gets interesting, we find out in the book why Hillary wants that copper scroll. She wants to tap the spiritual power out of it so that she will be well enough to win the election.
Really?
And you know what? I think it didn't work out for her in real life either, as it didn't work out for her in the book.
Yeah, absolutely. But I, you know what? She's like a, you know, I don't see her going, you know, she's not going away. And that's what a lot of people don't get, that she hasn't gone away, nor has that whole system. It's just antagonistically mad, I think.
Well, right now, the biggest thing, Hillary snuck off to France after she lost. She's got some major health problems, and this spa was supposed to cure her. Now, I don't know that it has. But, you know, she's desperate. She's trying everything. She's
right.
Now making little noises. She wants to run for mayor of New York, but I don't think that's going to work out for her. In fact, I think her health has gotten to the point where she's probably going to do less and less all the time. One of the things to understand, and I'm going to say this because people are involved in witchcraft quite a bit, every time you do a spell, every time you do some kind of incantation to get something for yourself, it costs you in your soul. And if you go to Psalm 7:2, you learn about how a soul can be torn into pieces, can be shredded and taken away. And that's what happens. And these poor people, they do this, they think they're getting something when they're really not. They're losing, and they're losing badly. And that's what's happening to Hillary right now, is she is going to the well, and each time she goes to the well, it costs her. And suddenly, she can't get on a plane without help. Suddenly, she can't get in her, she has to have a special van made for her. And, of course, now that all her money is gone, she's having to fly commercially because all the money to the Clinton Foundation dried up.
Yeah, that money went away. There was a lot of money there, but it went away after the election.
But she's working on another source. And that's what this second Bible code from Germany is telling me about. In fact, my friend the Major sort of pulled me on the right track with this one because he spent a number of years in Germany serving in the army. So he knows the country. I just get the news. And, you know, since I live in Colorado, that's a long ways from Germany.
Right.
But the thing that I found with this Bible code, and I admit, when I started this thing, I was looking for a Nazi resurgence. Because with everything that's happening over there, with all the Islamic refugees, it was my idea and my thought that this was the Nazis were going to use this to get back in power in Germany. Well,
right.
We did this code. It didn't work.
It's not working.
It didn't work. I couldn't get the words. And finally, I sent an email down to the Major. You know, you spent time in Germany. In fact, enough time he knows German.
Right.
What am I not getting? He wrote back and said, think left, not right. And he said that Hitler was such a major effect on that country that they'll never go right. Well, sure enough, guess whose name appeared in this German code? Hillary Clinton's. Also, Obama's name is hitting this code. Suddenly, we're seeing the CIA in this code. We're seeing the Liberal Party in Germany, which also used to be East German Stasi. You ever heard of them? They were the East German secret police. They were the best surveillance state in the world. They even had saliva samples on a good portion of their population.
Right.
And also mixed in with this is, again, the people that want totalitarianism the most, Cain and Osiris.
You know, you said something really interesting in the first program, and you talked about Cain still and being with us. You know, there's you want to expound? Well, we don't have time right now. We're going to be going to break in a little bit. But I think that we need to expound on that a little bit, because that's something that I also believe in. Anyway, but yeah, Cain is also, you know, let me read a couple of words that are in there for the people. And folks, I encourage you to go over there and look at this. And for the record, you will post the other one when you finally get it done, right? When you get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to a couple of words in here, and then I'll have you give your the website. But some of these folks is like, it says D. Trump, Poison, Lucifer, Lilith, or Screech Owl. And folks, you've got to understand who Lilith is. You'll probably have to research it another time to tell you. That's something. I haven't seen Lilith to pop up in this. Most people don't know what that's about. Cain, slay, murder, poison, to curse, subvert, H. Rodham, watchers, use witchcraft, satire, or devil, evil, plan,
Seder.
Or device. What? Seder. Yeah, I'm
Seder.
Yeah.
It's a demon.
Right.
Hebrew for demon.
Right. Isn't it a part human and part beast?
Well, sometimes.
Okay.
But it's usually used in Hebrew to refer to demons in general.
Okay. All right. Well, we might as well go ahead and tell them where that Bible code site is again, so that they can find it and know it, and then we'll go to break and come back in 3 minutes.
Okay, it's BibleCodes.co. That's BibleCodes.co.
Folks, and wherever tonight, or whenever you listen to this program, wherever that you listen to it in a podcast, there will be a direct link to this site, because we'll always place it with the podcast. But it's real simple, and if there's some reason that you can't find it, you can always get a hold of me, and I will tell you where it's at, as normal. So we'll be back in 3 minutes with more Bible Codes and Tom Mack. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and listen to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, a couple things to remember. Well, really just one. Passover. It comes in the middle of next month, about. I'll give you an exact date if you want. But anyway, Passover. And if you've never attended a Passover Seder, you need to do one. Check for one around in your neighborhood, in your city. You should be able to find one. it will open up the gospel like you've never, if you've never attended a cedar, then it will really dramatically open up the gospel for you. And you'll understand what Yeshua actually did when he became our sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of Yahweh. That will, it will open your eyes. So do that. Pray about it. And remember, as in all feast times, don't forget the poor. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. You know, we need your help, especially you folks over there in Wichita with the, for food and clothing, but clothing is what I'm telling Wichita tonight, because your used clothing, you throw them out or whatever, you know, wash them, bring them to us. We have men, women, children that can use these clothes. Remember, while people always say, well, they just take care of the homeless, that's not true. You know, we've been doing this, soon to be start our 18th year of doing it after the Father kept me up all night and, you know, almost it seemed like forced me to do it. You know, you can't tell the Father no. Anyway, point is 18 years. And so during this period of time, we've helped so many people, but, you know, they came out of being homeless and they have houses, but so many of them, they're just barely making it. And you folks know that in this economy. Some of you folks out there got two jobs, you know, and both husband and wife are working, you know, and maybe even children, because the economy is still so low. Yeah, we got Trump, but, you know, the Trump effect hasn't translated into a higher economy yet. And so these people need help for things like food, like again, food and clothing, over-the-counter medications. They could talk about no insurance. Some of these people don't have insurance. They think I'm their doctor. There's so much stuff that I do for them. So pray about it. Pray about supporting what we do. And you folks in Wichita, don't throw out your clothing. Bring them to us, because we'll give them to somebody else. And we don't get any help from any organized churches or government agencies. I mean, of course, we don't get anything from the government, but as far as the churches go, you know, we're the Messianic in Wichita is unusual. It's now there's starting to be some small groups over there, but mainstream, we're the weirdos down the block that take care of the poor, you know, and the homeless. So that's what most churches think of us. And so, help us out. Pray about it. We care for people, minister to people in a part of town that most people will not even walk in day or night. And it isn't safe to most people after dark. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, because they're treated as family. And beyond that, you know, we have no set guidelines like programs. People walk in the door and ask for what they need. If we have it, we give it to them. If we don't, we try and pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. Can you imagine that? People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget, because they know so many miracles happen here. And even people come from all over the city and have driven to me from all over the country for miracle prayers. We are the last hope for so many. And folks, we're responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father donations, all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, because it's not free and donations is what keeps us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and I can take a credit card or whatever over the telephone. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com or simply call me and we'll get it arranged. Anyway, enough about all that, but we're now back with Tom Mack talking about Bible codes, and hopefully Tom's still with us. Are you still with us, Tom?
I'm still here.
All right. Amen. You just keep opening.
I was going to mention one other thing that I also found in this new Bible code. I just put it up today, by the way. So if you go over and look at it, it's this one Amalek code. It's the first day it's been up.
The Exodus 17:6 Amalek, is that the one you're talking about?
No, Amalek? This one is Genesis 50.
Okay, well, I didn't see that one, because I've got right up now the Amalek-Germany connection. That's not it?
No. If you will click there's a link at the bottom, and it'll take you, and you'll get to this one. I think it's the third one over. But it's interesting.
Oh, okay.
And the interesting thing is, not only is Hillary there, not only is Obama there, Angela Merkel's there. And people don't understand about Angela Merkel. Boy, she looks like Hitler. I can't say that she's yes, she looks like Hitler, and it's scary. But she's from East Germany. And from what I understand, the Stasi did a lot of very interesting little experiments with Hitler's genetic material.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't they? People... You need to do some research about what the Germans were really up to, because they were into so many different things than what we see on the surface, were they not?
Yes. But, you know, there's another interesting name that wandered into this code. One of the, what I believe is one of the two witnesses.
Okay, well, let's just go on into the witness. Take us in there, however you want to go.
Okay. First thing we need to look at is some scripture. Go to Matthew 16:28. And everybody looks at this and they want to shake their heads because it doesn't make sense. But I'm going to read it to you. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death. They shall see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Literally, there are people standing there in the first century who are going to see Jesus return. That's 2,000 years. And if you think that's isolated, Mark 9:1. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And then there's Luke 9:27. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. That means there are people who have lived in the first century who are still walking the earth right now. And the two witnesses, because remember it says witness. And you know what? I looked it up in the Greek. I looked it up in the Aramaic. I was going to say, no, maybe the translators played some games. No, they didn't. It says witness. Means they saw him die. They saw him resurrect. So you have a pool. In 1 Corinthians, Paul said there were 500 people who saw him die and who saw him resurrect. So there's a pool of 500. But there are two guys that stand out. One of them is Lazarus, who is the father of the Virgin Mary. Not the father, the father of Mary Magdalene. I get that turned around a little bit. And, by the way, he broke a first century record for paying a dowry for Mary Magdalene so she could marry Joseph of Arimathea, who at that point in time was the minister of mining for that part of the world. He was also a decurion, they call him. He was sort of a senator in the area, so he was sort of up there. So it was worth something to get your daughter to marry him, but he had to pay extra because Mary Magdalene, she liked to play around a little bit, and she had gotten herself pregnant. And of course, you know what happens under the Torah. If you get a girl pregnant, right, you're going to get some rocks going your way.
Yeah, to say the least.
And so, you know, you want to get your daughter married off, it's going to cost extra.
Right.
And so, the interesting thing, Joseph of Arimathea marries Mary Magdalene. But also another thing we find out he did, he's the one that, if you look at it, he's the one that also adopted Jesus legally to give him another claim to the throne of David. Because you remember, he can't do it through Joseph the carpenter, because if you study Jeremiah, Joseph's family was under the Jeconiah curse. They could not occupy the throne of David because of the curse. So it had to come from somewhere else. That's why we read in Luke a different genealogy, which shows a son of David that's not under the Jeconiah curse. And so we have two men, and these two men can sit on the throne of David. Lazarus, and if you remember Lazarus, another thing, he died, but Jesus raised him from the dead
right
after he wept. This was a very, very good friend, a very good friend of Jesus. He died, he came back from the dead. You know, a little bit of a
right
a foretaste of what we're going to see in another couple of chapters. Then we have Joseph of Arimathea, and he was famous for going to Pilate. He must have had a little pop to be able to get the body of Jesus, because Pilate usually didn't give that kind of thing up.
Let alone get an audience with him, period.
Right. So, you know, he had a little pop. Well, what happens? Shortly thereafter, old King Herod decides he's going to go down and spank the Arabs, and what happened? The Arabs spanked him. And because of that, King Herod has to raise a new army, or the Romans are going to throw him out. Well, how does he do it? He blackmails Joseph of Arimathea into getting him new weaponry so he can raise a new army. And then after he does that, what does the man do? He banishes Jesus' entire family in 37 A.D. That's why you don't read about him in the New Testament, except for the places where I mentioned. They got sent to Gaul. You know, in those days, that was like getting sent to Siberia.
Right.
It was a wild place. It was not very nice. It wasn't very modern. In fact, it's interesting that Pilate was also banished to Gaul. And he stayed there for several years, screwed up again, and got sent to Switzerland. And he ended up killing himself. There's a Alp mountain in Switzerland called Mount Pilatus, which is named for Pilate. But it's interesting that we have Lazarus and Joseph. They are actually still part, and about every 7 years they do show up in Jerusalem. They do show up in Jerusalem.
Okay.
And
how do you know that they show up in Jerusalem? Is that part of the code, or is that something?
Well, actually, Josephus says it.
Okay.
And they show up because that's when the church council is. They have one every 7 years. And we only read about one in Acts 15. But we now know that they had one every 7 years, because they had to take care of things. Like, we know one of them where they appointed deacons to take care of the poor.
Right.
And there are other times that they've gotten together.
Right, and the Jerusalem Council, that's where they did a couple of things that stand out. One is they had to judge Paul, but he was still keeping Torah. And another time, and then they had to decide what about the Gentiles now that they were coming in and being saved. And so those are in Acts.
Right. And so we have these guys coming together. And the last, or in 46 A.D., the strangest thing is there was a famine in Gaul. And poor Joseph of Arimathea, you know, by the time he had the Holy Spirit, you know, suddenly learned how to love his wife. And so he had his wife and his sister, the Virgin Mary, Jesus's mother.
Right.
Suddenly you have them in Gaul, and a famine hits and it kills both women. I mean, can you imagine losing at the same time your mother or your wife and your sister? I mean, that had to be tough.
Right.
What did he do? He takes his body, or takes their bodies, back to Jerusalem, hoping that the apostles can somehow raise her from the dead. You know, this man is really in grief.
Right.
Of course, what happens? No, they don't raise from, or they don't raise from the dead like Lazarus did. She goes to heaven, which you know, one thing to say for the Virgin Mary, she was the recipient of a lot of miracles, but that doesn't make her divine in any way, shape, or form, like the Catholic Church would teach you.
Right.
So what happens, at that same point in time, suddenly Joseph of Arimathea goes from being an old man to a young man, because Jesus has commissioned him to preach the gospel to India. So every 49 years, he regenerates in Israel. He has to come back to the Mount of Olives, and he regenerates and goes back out and works for the Lord. He's been doing this for 2,000 years. Lazarus, similar story. He's been raised from the dead, and every 30 years, that will take a lot more time than we have to explain that. But he goes back on the field. Sometimes they work together, other times they're separate. It isn't always easy, because in the early days, everybody knew who they were and knew what they stood for and what they represented. So they had to take on different identities throughout the centuries. And my friend Olaf Hagee, who went to be with the Lord last year, did a lot of that research, and he found a lot of the places where these guys had been and ministered.
Really?
And, you know, some of those reports I sent you, he's outlined that, and he's found source material for a lot of this stuff. And one of the saddest things I've had to do in my life is I flew out to Maine last January and collected a lot of his research and brought it back here to Colorado. And I have a special bookshelf where all this stuff is. But it's really hard to look at it and to see all this research. And, you know, as a publishing company, I'm trying to preserve it and get it republished so that people can see that, no, the two witnesses are not Moses and Elijah. Think about it. You quoted a scripture when we first started in the first hour. And one of the things it said, necromancy is an abomination. So
absolutely.
If Moses were to show up at the mission and say he's Moses and he wants to give you a prophecy, what are you going to tell him? You're going to say him goodbye. You're not going to regard him because he's dead and you cannot communicate with the dead. And, you know, when I was going through the process and the codes to see if what Olaf said was right, I started first with what all these guys said. And sure enough, I could get a code that says two witnesses, Elijah and Moses. But guess what? Moses would not touch the two witnesses. It just refused. And when I added deliverance, it still wouldn't touch. You know, I was really stretching. I put in two olive trees. Would not touch. Interesting thing about olive tree is it goes in sort of a, where two witnesses is a straight line. The olive tree wraps around the two witnesses. It's sort of a weird way for the code to turn out. But when I started putting in all the names, Arimathaeus showed up, so did Lazarus. And they showed up right in the line with the two witnesses. But you know, these two witnesses, they aren't just out there doing things. There are beings out there trying to kill them, trying to stop them at every point in time. And guess who one of them is? Lilith. Guess who another one is? Cain.
Wow.
Not only that, the Shiites know who he is, and they're trying to get rid of him. So this is a battle that is going to go on clean to the end when we read in Revelation 11, where they will show up back at the Temple Mount, and they will start preaching. And when they start preaching, nobody's going to recognize them because they're not going to preach what you hear in most pulpits. And what's going to happen when they, you know, they torch somebody, when the fire comes out of their mouth and consumes their enemies? What do you think most of the liberal church would say? Well, that's not very loving.
Yeah, I get it. And you know what? The picture that the mainstream, most Christianity have painted of Yeshua is just, he's just not on it. You know what I mean? It's just not the right picture, so to speak. And let me give you something for the people. You know, we also learned that when Yeshua was crucified, there was at a point that there was dead that rose from the ground. You know, there's never a mention of what happened to those dead that came up in resurrected bodies, and there's a reason for that. Back to you.
Yeah, you know, that's a very interesting set of scriptures there, and you know, most preachers will tell you, oh, they just went to heaven. I'm sorry, guy, but I don't see a scripture saying that.
No, there isn't.
Superimposing your idea on what might have happened. You know, those guys could be still hanging around to this day.
Yeah.
Maybe we ought to see if one of them will invite one of them to come to the mission.
Absolutely. I believe that they are still around, because otherwise I believe the word would have told us different. And I find even, you know how, when you know the Bible, while it may not give it to you right then, but later it will talk about something, and it'll later on in other scriptures, you know, it'll mention it, but there is no mention of these guys and what happened to them. But anyway, we're really coming up on the end of the program. Tell the folks where they can find out about all this information with the two witnesses and everything else, and then we'll have to go. And I got a feeling that we're going to be talking again.
Yes, I.
You're really you have really opened up some doors.
But it's BibleCodes.co. And by the way, I have a main website where I cover a lot of the different issues in Christianity. It's WhitestoneFoundation.org. That's sort of the main umbrella. In fact, if you look on the codes, the copyright is Whitestone Foundation for Research.
Okay, so at Whitestone Foundation, does it have links over here to the codes?
Actually, if you look clear at the bottom and you see the copyright information, you'll see Whitestone Foundation for Research.
Yeah, I see it right there.
You click on it, you'll go there, and you'll see the gyroscope.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a better. I'll give out that one. That's the one that I'll give out on the podcast. Well, brother, I appreciate you being on, and I've got a whole list of notes of different things that I did during our program, and we're going to have to talk again, but right now I'm going to have to let you go. So thanks for being on with me, and you be blessed.
My
and
pleasure.
We'll keep in touch. Okay.
Yes,
well,
please do.
All right. Goodbye and shalom to you.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, he opened up a whole bunch of cans of worms, and you know, you need to go over here and research it. A lot of it seems far-fetched, but there's a lot But if you understand and really read the Bible, and it opens up so many other doors and things for you. And there's so many other things in, that are interwound. And so go over there and check him out at the Whitestone Foundation for Research. That's whitestonefoundation.org, whitestonefoundation.org. And we'll talk with him again. But pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. We don't get any help from outside sources. Radio is what's been keeping us going for a long time. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. How can you be saved and have the Holy Spirit within you if you're not a blessing to others? Pay for the priests of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.